We appreciate that, do we not? Amen. Say amen. It'll help you stay awake. Amen. Now, we're all tired, but tonight, at least you could say amen for that. We are. But God isn't done with us yet. That's the good thing, isn't it? And I'm glad we're not all alone. We're all tired together. Amen. I'm not a loner. I'll just be honest with you. When my wife is gone, which is not very often, I can hardly stand it. I'm not a loner. We do everything together. I don't go anywhere without her. Unless it's just a case that there's just no way that she can go. And I just don't like to be alone. I guess I'm insecure. Some of you big burly men, you wouldn't own up to that, but you are too. You know, when I hear a noise outside, I say, oh, honey, go look and see what that is. Amen. Well, it's been a good day in the Lord. Wonderful funeral tribute today, Brother Forrest Tyler. Brother Tyler followed me when I left to Shelbyville, Indiana, and went to pastor the church there, and I've known him for a lot of years. And everyone just did a wonderful job today at the funeral. Amen. Well, where is your God tonight? Do we have him in a box? Oh, let's say 50 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago. I was thinking that I remember when I was young. I don't remember how old I was. But we were on a revival meeting. And you know, back in those days, you had 3 Sunday meetings. Man, that'd kill us right now, wouldn't it? It would kill us. You say, what? We're so geared up because McDonald's says you can get it fast, and so we work fast, and we run fast, and we eat fast. Isn't that right? We can't slow down. But I remember we were in a real revival meeting, and the Lord was just helping, and just as service started, the back door opened, and 2 ladies in the neighborhood come running down the aisle and fell at the altar and started praying. Now, this is what they said. They said they were at the kitchen table playing cards, and the Lord spoke to them. Said the refrigerator spoke to them, and it scared them to death. Do you think God could do that? I think God could do that. Huh? Where's our God? Are we still living in the past? We can't live in the past. We have to live in the present. And somewhere, where did I read that? I read somewhere in a book that said something like this, if I can remember it right, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did I get it right? Huh? What's that mean? It means just what it says, doesn't it? And God's able to help us. We need to go home and pray and ask God to send some sinners in tomorrow. Amen. Now, how you can do that before you pray, you can call them on the phone. Say, hey, why don't you come to church? In fact, we're going to have a pitch-in dinner. A lot of good food. You've got great cooks around here. You really do. And say, we're going to have a pitch-in dinner. We want you to come to church. Entreat him to come. Will you do that? And then when we get here, let's obey God. How you and I act, how you and I respond in the service makes a big, big difference in the Holy Spirit coming and doing his work. Isn't that right? We all want to be obedient, don't we? I'm not trying to get on you. I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm coaching you. Amen? I'm coaching you. Too long ago, we went to a meeting, and I said to my wife, the evangelist was sitting up there, and he was looking up. I said, why don't he put a smile on his face, lift his head up a little bit? Well, he might have been looking at some people out in the congregation, I don't know, and he was trying to mimic them. I don't know. But let's come in the morning asking God to just do some good things for us. Amen. He still does it. And the good thing is, he can use you and I to help him get some great things done if we'll just do that. Well, again, we have appreciated the Copelands, Brother Copeland and his daughter singing this week. And she says she's 25 years of age, but I think we ought to look at her driver's license or something and find out how much she weighs. That's the thing that shocks me, how much she weighs. Brother Raymond Rice, I don't know if you've ever had Brother Raymond Rice around here or not. He was an evangelist in the Bible Covenant Church. He was a drunkard. When he got saved, the windows of the house were knocked out, and there was rags in the windows, and the finance company had come and taken away his furniture, and he was just he said that he wasn't sober 30 days at a time, but the little hole in his church down there, amen, they had a van, and the van came by and picked up his two children, a boy and a girl, and they both got saved. And they came home and began to tell Daddy about it. And Daddy got saved at home. I mean, really saved, really saved, really saved. In fact, when he got saved, the preacher, which was Brother Tillis, William Tillis, no, not Williams, his brother, what was his name? I'm sorry, Amos. Amos Tillis was his pastor. And he took Brother Rice around to all the bars to pay his bar bills. Amen. He did. And he got all of his debts paid up. You say, well, I wouldn't have paid him. Well, he shouldn't have been there. He owed it. Amen. And the Lord transformed his heart and his life. He was a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful singer. You'd have camp meeting with him, and after the night service, he'd go up and start playing the piano. All the young people would gather around him, and they'd sing for hours. He was a great man of God. But he was very large, pretty fluffy. And somebody asked him one time, said, Brother Rice, have you always been this big? He said, no, I was a baby one time. I was a baby one time. So I think she's still a baby, don't you? Amen. Isn't God good to us? Now, can I tell you something, folks? It doesn't hurt for Christians to smile. Amen? It really doesn't hurt for Christians to smile. You know, the world out there, they're so cumbered down with the cares of life and sin and all the bad things of life, just sometimes a wonderful smile will make a difference in the world. Amen? Let's lift up the world by being smilers. And helpers and encouragers. And look, has anybody been encouraging anybody? Huh? Amen. It's a good thing. It's good medicine for the heart. It'll give you strength. Amen. Let's encourage people. Has anybody been making a difference in somebody's life? Have you tried to do something special for someone? Now, don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. Making a difference in those who you come in contact with. Amen? It's good. You know, I love kids. I really do love kids. I love little kids, big kids, married kids. I love them all. And I want them to know that I do love them. And if you do that, you'll make a lot of friends in your lifetime if you love people. Well, with that all said, I want to talk to us about some serious things tonight. A little verse of Scripture that's hid away that you've probably seen it, but you, it just didn't jump out to you. But I want to talk about it tonight. Stand together, and it's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 15. It's one of the doubles of the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but I am very concerned. I know I can't remember who made this quote, but they said, this is what they said. When the Methodist Church failed to testify of being sanctified holy, they lost it. Friends, we are a holiness church. Amen? And there's a lot in this day that wants to water down the message of holiness. They kind of act like maybe they're a little ashamed of the name holiness. I'm not at all. Are you? I'm going to close my eyes. Are you? Amen. All right, let's look at this verse. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit. Now the marginal reading, if you have a Thompson chain, says, just a little different, it reads that you might have a second grace. That you might have a second grace. Father, help us tonight, we pray, as we take this little message, Lord, and divide it among us, oh God, that we will just take it in. God will help us, and that it'll help us to grow. It'll help us to be what you want us to be. It'll help us in our life here, because we know we have to have this to get to the other life. And we ask that you'll help us to be faithful to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The doubles of the Bible. Now, I'm quite a noted preacher. Have you noticed that? I use a lot of notes. I really do. And the reason is because I want to say it like I think I should say it, and sometimes I mess that up too, but that's all right. But here we are, the doubles of the Bible. A second grace. A second benefit. God has two works of grace for us. Amen? Now, I'm expecting a lot of amens tonight. And I'll cut it short if you amen enough. Now, it is viewed as exceptional by men of great intelligence that God should be pleased to perfect our salvation by the means of two distinct works of grace. But it should not be so considered in the view of many facts. There were two epochs in the creation of the human nature. Adam was first, and a little later, Eve. They were both necessary to complete the human race. There are two comings of Christ in the redemption of man. The first was to provide us with salvation, and the second is to complete our salvation. Jesus is coming back, and I don't believe it's going to be too long or too far away, do you? And he's going to complete our salvation by taking us to a place called heaven that he's prepared for all of his saints. Won't that be a wonderful, wonderful day? I don't want to miss it. Whew, hallelujah. That's worth the whole message right there. I don't want to miss it. Now, there are two renovations of material earth to rid it of the effects of sin. One was by water, and the next will be by fire. There were two distinct deliverances of Israel in founding the Hebrew nation, the getting them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, and getting them across the Jordan into the Promised Land. There were two periods in the life of Abraham when he was called from the land of Ur, and the next was 24 years later when God called him to perfection. There were two periods in the life of Jacob, the first at Bethel, the second at Peniel, where he wrestled until the daybreak and said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I like those words. Until thou bless me. There were two main compartments in the Jewish tabernacle, the holy place and the holy of holies. There are two covenants containing God's revelation to mankind, the old covenant and the new covenant. There are two offerings that denote approach to God. And we had one had to do with sin, and the other had to do with consecration. There were two kinds of feast, one denoting beginnings, and the other commemorating finalities. And it should not be viewed as exceptional that God should be pleased to perfect our salvation by the use of two distinct works of grace when we consider the dualities in nature. Yeah, that bug was trying to bite me right there. I hope that wasn't a bed bug. Ladybug's better than a bed bug, isn't it? That's good. Now, there are two elements in the air, and no one is nitrogen and oxygen. And scientists tell us if there were not enough of one or the other, the effect of the other world would be up in flames. There are two elements in the air we breathe, two elements in the water we drink, two elements in the sun wind joint, two lobes in the lungs, and two ventricles in the heart, and two works of grace for man. Oh, doesn't that excite you to know that God has two works of grace for us? A saving and a sanctifying power. Through the very same blood, we can be saved and sanctified. Well, so you see, if you follow nature, psychology, the Bible, we must of necessity believe in a second blessing. Now, salvation comes by installments, by degrees. And there are at least three degrees in God's salvation. For two for this world and one for the next. The Bible calls justification or initial sanctification. And the second is sanctification, which saves us from our inbred sin. And the third is glorification, which will save us by and by from the presence and the effects of sin. Now, folks, I'm living here on this earth for one reason. Because I want to go to heaven. Amen? I'm willing to take whatever it takes for me to get to heaven to do it. I don't want to miss heaven. Whew. Oh, I've had the blessed privilege of many, many times being around the deathbed of the saint of God when they begin to leave the glory world. Oh, what a presence of God there is. Now, you know, in this day, because of medication and all, we don't hear a lot of deathbed stories anymore, do we? My partner, Dale Bailey, he and I had been in business about 20 years in apartment houses. And he worked for Caterpillar, and he didn't like working for Caterpillar. I had a good job, made a good money. I don't know why in the world he ever wanted to quit that place. If that had been me, I'd still been there. But he liked to use his hands, and so we went in business together. And somebody said, well, that's not very smart for a pastor to go in business with one of his members. Well, if you just only knew Brother Dale Bailey, He loved me like a daddy. We never one time ever had any crosswords in any decision we ever made. I can't even say that about my wife. He was one of these kind of guys that, you know, if I'd say, boy, I think my brakes are grinding a little bit, he'd say, bring it down to the garage. I'd pull it in the garage and Dale would fix my brakes. It didn't make any difference what we needed. I mean, if we had a church project, Dale was there. He was there. He was one of those guys that every pastor wanted in his church. And they're very rare. You know that? They're very rare. And Dale was a wonderful man. He was my Sunday school superintendent for several years. And when we started going to the outreach and bus convention, he said, I don't want to be Sunday school superintendent anymore. He said, I want to be over the bus ministry. And he worked his little heart out. And every week was pounding on doors and bringing boys and girls to church as the bus director. Hallelujah! Amen. But at the age of 51, he went to camp. He'd been having some problems in his back, the upper part of his back. Been going to the chiropractor. It would help for a little bit. But about 11 o'clock at night, it was just so painful. So painful. And he told his wife, he said, I'm going to go to St. Vincent's in Indianapolis. And they loaded up, took him to St. Vincent's. And that night, he discovered that he had a fast growing cancer. That was June the 7th. July the 15th, he left this world. He went into the hospital and he was so bad that the nurse said, Now, Mr. Bailey, we need to really put you in intensive care. But said, if we do, your friends can't be there. And he said, oh, I want my friends. And they had a large room that had storage in it, and they went in and cleared out this large room, probably about the third of the size of this church, this side over here, about a third or two-thirds of the church. It was a big room, and wheeled Dale in, and all the friends came. I mean, there'd be anywhere from 30 to 35 people in that room. We'd reminisce, and Dale, he would go under. And then he'd come back. And then he'd tell us what he saw. One of the ladies in the church Her mother had passed away just a few months before that. And he came back and said, I saw Sister Taylor. It was Bessie Taylor. You all would know who Sister Taylor was. Said, I saw Bessie Taylor this morning. You said, had we ever heard anything like that? Not at all. I'd never heard stories like that, especially in this day. And he told his grandkids, he said, now, kids, don't worry. Papa's going to go up to heaven and he's going to build us a mansion. So we can all be up there in heaven. Then one time he came back and he said, I saw Kendrick. Well, Kendrick is our youngest grandchild. We couldn't figure that all out. He said, I saw Kendrick. Until a few months later, wife and I began to talk. And in her last pregnancy, she had miscarried and lost a baby. I said, that's my son up there. Amen? You say, oh, you're stretching it. I don't think so, because he was in the glory world. He was seeing what was going on. He'd come back and tell us other things about what was happening in heaven. He said, I don't believe those kind of stories. You don't have to. I want to tell you something. I believe there's some reality to Dale Bailey knowing what was going on in heaven, because it wasn't long until he was in heaven enjoying the presence of the Lord. The effects. One of these days, the Lord's going to come back and he is going to glorify our bodies. No more sickness, no more pain. Hallelujah. Amen. No more worrying about losing weight, all that kind of stuff. We're going to go to heaven. God has a place prepared for us called heaven. I want to make it. Well, let us notice tonight the two calls. And I'm going to have to work on this. I'll try not to get any sidetracks. You know what that means, too, don't you? Nothing. The first of the two calls of the Bible is to the sinner. It's a call unto repentance. Mark chapter 2 and 17. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The second call is to the church, and it's called unto holiness in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness but unto holiness. Now holiness is a trinity. It consists of three things. It consists of theory or theology. It consists of experience, and it also exists of practice. In other words, it's a head, it's a heart, and it's a hand experience. Amen? Are you catching on? Hold your seatbelts on. Now, theory is the belief by the intellect. Experience is to be enjoyed by the sensibilities. And practice is to be lived by the will. So it's a head. It's holiness is of heart has to do with a man's head, and experience has to do with his heart, and the practical part of the holiness has to do with a man's hands. It makes it a head, heart, and hand religion. Sound head in doctrine, pure heart in love, and hands clean in life. Let us look just a little bit more at this trinity of holiness. Theory comes first. Now, theory is very important part of salvation. The intellect must first be convinced before the heart can be converted. You say, wait a minute. Your dad said, when he was praying, he said, oh, God, if there were a God, could you do something for Guy Mowry? Could you save him so good that he would know that he was saved? You say, well, he had no idea. Yes, he did. He knew there was a God out there somewhere. He just didn't know anything about him. And so he had a head knowledge. And this is what he said. If you can save me, good enough that I can know it. I heard him preach one time. And he said, you know, in 1919, and in November, I believe it's the 8th, he said, I was born into the Maori family. And said, the birth certificate says I was a Maori. But he said, you know what? I know more than I'm a child of God than I do that I'm a Maori. They just told me that. There's just a piece of paper. But he said, I know. I've been redeemed. I'm a child of God. Whew. Oh, that excites me. Friends, we can know we are a child of God. Now, you must know about God before you can ever know God. And the knowing about God is the theology or the theory part of salvation. Your theory may not be altogether correct, but some part of a theory you must have to in order to get an experience. But when you get the experience will correct your theory. Amen? Oh, I remember Dad, he worked on the side. He had a little home mission, got $1.15 a week. By the way, he got more than I did at my first church. I didn't get anything. But he was better preacher than I was. And he worked for another preacher. He was a Baptist preacher. Now, I'm not knocking the Baptist. Don't go off and say that I am or anybody else. But they got to talking about holiness, and Dad would talk. And finally, he just said, well, you know what about you holiness people? You always come out on your experience. Amen. That's the way it ought to be, shouldn't it? We always come out because we know what God's done for us. You act like you're afraid of me tonight. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. It's your experience that makes theology, and not theology that makes the experience. Theory has to do with doctrine, and doctrine is fundamental, and doctrine is the mainspring of our spiritual activity. It's in the foundation of your spiritual building. Doctrine has to do with what we believe. And Paul said to Titus, speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. And Paul said to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in so doing thou shalt save thyself and them that hear you. It's important that we preach a clear doctrine from this pulpit. And all across the world, every pulpit, it's very necessary that a preacher preaches a clear doctrine, because doctrine is what we believe. Amen? Now, Christianity is a creed, and a creed to your salvation is what the skeleton is to my body. So you need to know theology. You need to know about God. Amen. You need to study. You need to learn. You need to comprehend. You need to have something in your head that you know about God. Amen. But secondly, let us notice the experience. Creed is important, but the experience is imperative. Hallelujah. It's not enough to know about God. We must know Him. We must experience, we must have that experience within our heart that we know, I mean that we know, that we know that we're a child of God, that Jesus, has He shed His blood on the cross and sanctified our heart, cleansed our heart, and filled us with the blessed Holy Spirit. We need to know. We can have that experience until we know. There can be a witness of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to know about God. We must know Him. Experience has to do with the heart. And when you get it into the heart, we get it into the seat of men's affection and emotional nature. Do you know what? Old-time religion is emotional. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, I don't believe in all that emotion. And we do tell people, take it by faith. But remember, faith always fruits in believing. Amen? Always. Now, being justified by faith, we have peace. And peace is emotional. You say, well, how will some people cry and laugh at the same time? Some people, big mouth like me, holler and jump around. Some people are quiet, just sit there, and tears course down their cheek. And you can just tell by the glow on their face, they're enjoying the presence of God in their heart and life. But some way, somehow, I tell you what, our experience of salvation fruits in feeling. Wouldn't it be awful not to have any kind of feeling in serving the Lord? We would be alone, wouldn't we? But we have His promises. All the promises of the Bible. They're for everyone. Oh, you mean for me? Yes, for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got to stick to my nose. I'm going to get myself in trouble, aren't I? Can you imagine a religion that has no emotion would be too dry to kindle a fire? The world has nothing to hope for, and the devil has nothing to fear from a religion that has no emotion. If there's no feeling on the inside, the world isn't going to see hope in us. That's the reason, friends, that we need to be talking to people about their soul. We need to share, that's just not for me. You know what? But the Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit can help you and prod you. And you know, when somebody at work starts talking about all the problems of life, have you tried Jesus? You know, I was there in my lifetime once too. Be honest with them. They look at us and see us the way we're dressed, and they think we've been holy all of our lives. They think that we've been birthed into this thing. And a lot of us have. But I want to tell you, there's an experience that you can have in your heart. I knew a pastor's wife. She went to God's Bible school. She sang all across. Beautiful, beautiful singer and a piano player. And they pastored a church. They did evangelistic work. But there came to a time when she said, I didn't even know that I was saved. And God saved her, transformed her heart. You can know. You can have the experience. You can have the clean feeling that you know that God dwells within your heart. And friend, you must. Oh, it's worth everything. Thank God it is. Thirdly, let us notice the practice of holiness. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Holiness is ethical as well as doctrinal. A person may be doctrinally straight and at the same time be ethically crooked. The greatest argument for Christianity is not logic. It's an everyday life lived in an everyday environment. You say, well, do we ever fail? Yes, we do fail, don't we? You know what? If you're sanctified, you have the best reverse gear of anybody I'd know of. Huh? You say, but oh, when you get that old nature taken out of your life and you're filled with the blessed Holy Spirit. Well, no, you don't. You can't make mistakes. That's, again, the Greek word for that's baloney. We're still human, are we not? And are we not still in a world that's full of the devil? Huh? And sometimes we might act or react when we shouldn't, but when you're sanctified holy, you put it in reverse, you back up and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, but you don't know it was right, but I said it in the wrong spirit. Amen? Oh, Lord, help us. We need to have an experience of second blessing holiness when the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and say, wait a minute, Mark. You have you ever had to ask your wife to forgive you? Preacher, have you ever had to ask your board members to forgive you? I have. I've had to ask my whole board to forgive me before because I was out of place. He said, boy, you must be an awful little man. No, it takes a big man to do that. But I knew I had to clear my conscience and have the feeling of the Holy Spirit on the inside and experience the blessing of God. And I'll tell you something, if you'd practice that more, you'd have more of God. We can't ride over the checks of the Holy Spirit and keep the Spirit of God in our heart and in our lives. We have to allow God to speak to us, and we know the Holy Spirit is so good. He's better than my mother. I could pull some things over on her. Huh? I could do sometimes on my dad, but it's a very rare occasion. And if he ever found out about it, why, he got that long belt out. And I'm going to tell you something. You didn't want to back up to him too many times, and you dare not run. Thank God I had a daddy like that. Amen. The greatest argument for Christianity is not logic. It's an everyday living in the environment. The best way to reprove sin is live holiness. The best way to prove your religion is not to argue the facts, but produce a proper result. By your fruits, they are to know you, not by your creed or by your deeds, but by your fruit they are to know you. Christianity is more than a message, it's to be heard. It's a deed to be done. Christianity is more than a matter of believing and escaping. It is a matter of being and doing. Peter had the ethics of holiness in mind when he said, "Be ye holy in all manner of life." That means in your business dealings. Don't go to sleep on me now. We need to be careful that we're conscientious in our business dealings. I don't want to go there because I don't want to spend a lot of time. I want to keep going here. Now the church is, in other words, just a minute. Real salvation is just as good in secret as it is in public. Just as good in the dark as it is in the daylight. Just as good as it on Monday as it is on Sunday. Can you all say amen to that? Is that good truth or not? It is. We need to live what we say we live. And the world knows whether we have it or not. Huh? I remember I was working at the battery factory. That was when I was telling you about lost my business. And we were $3,500 in debt. And that was back in 1969. $3,500 was a lot of money back in those days. And I was working at the battery factory. I was working two jobs. And I worked a second shift at the battery factory. And I had a boy, you know, that's where the Pilgrim College was. And he was going to college over there. But he just tormented me. He didn't like it because I could outwork him. I weighed about 270 pounds. He was a little old puny thing. And I could do twice as much at night as he could. And so he got mad. And so he talked to the union. They bumped me off, gave me his job. And it was just too big for him. And so he did my job. So I do my job and help him do his job. It's just one of those kind of things. And one night, we were stamping the positive post, and that was my job. And when I turned my back, he took fire things. What's it called? Torch. Thank you. He took his torch and heated my positive stamp. I had no idea. I was working away and stacking batteries, you know, and I reached around and grabbed that thing like that, burned every bit of my fingers, all my thumb and all my fingers in the palm of my hand. I'll tell you what, it didn't take me long to let loose of that. And so the boss come by. He said, "Mark, I want you to meet me in the office tomorrow." He said, "We're going to get him fired." I said, "No, I can't do that." Did he need fired? Absolutely he needed fired. But I felt like my influence might be marred if I reacted against him. You say, "Well, if that happened, I wouldn't say that you were wrong if you went and had him fired." I'm not saying that. But the Holy Spirit just told me, "Mark, just don't do it. Just be sweet." Was it hard? Mm-hmm. Because what happened was that slowed production down. And we were paid an incentive for production. And so everybody down the line, their pay was less that night because of that one judgment of a boy that professed to be a Christian. God help us. We need to be careful. God help us. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be ethical and do our part and be what we say we are. The church is not falling down in the theory of holiness. It's in the practice where we become short. The church is strong enough in doctrine to save the whole world, but weak enough in practice to become a laughing stock. The old farmer said, "It's talking cream and living skim milk." The world has no faith when men say amen on Sunday and curse and cheat on Monday. You say, "You're preaching to the choir." I may be, but an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And the pressures of this day, and the devil is out after the church. Don't think he isn't. I mean, he's working overtime. Every one of you would have to raise your hand and say, "Yes, the devil's working overtime." I mean, we are so busy, and we're doing so many things, and we have a family to take care of, and we have all this to do, and all that, and all that. And we're weak, and we are weak. Be honest. We can't live it without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't be what God wants us to be unless we're willing to give Him our time and give Him our service and give Him our life. Amen. Dad told a story down in southern Indiana. He was around Bicknell, Linton area. In fact, he was born in Greene County. And he said there was a farmer down there, and they sharecropped. Now, you guys that are farmers, you know what that is. For some of you young kids don't know what that is. Well, one guy owns the land, and the other guy does the working, and they split the profit. And said when it's time for him to go down to the corn shed, corn crib to get his, he put sideboards on the wagon. But when he was going down to get the landowners, he took the sideboards off. And the little Methodist church, they was in revival meeting. And I mean, the Lord was coming and people were shouting and carrying on. He got up and he said, "I'm so beside myself, I don't know what to do." And the old farmer said, "Put the sideboards on." Amen. God help us. Why can't we just live a practical holiness life like God wants it? You say, "Oh, you can't do that." Yes, you can do that by the help and the grace of God. That's the only way any of us can do it, is because of the grace of God and the love of God in our heart. That's the only way any of us can do it, is because God is merciful. He wants us to go to heaven more than we want to go ourselves. He wants us to live holy more than we want to be holy ourselves. He wants you and I to be good examples for Jesus Christ in this world more than ever before. He wants you and I to be that kind of example. An experiential side and a practical side. You can't be outwardly what you're not inwardly. Jesus said a good tree can bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A holy life and a holy heart are inseparable. If we walk with God practically, we will need to walk with Him experientially. And walking with God experientially will result in a closer walk with God practically. The more perfect is the character, the more perfect will to be the conduct. Oh, God, help us to be what we say we are. And if we're not, seek His face for it. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody tonight. I don't know that I'm even going to open the altar call tonight. You know, some things you need to do on your own, in your own closet. You know, we don't hear much about the death route anymore. You see, what is it? That's where we just die out and give God everything. It's not hard. It's not. Oh, it may be hard, but it's not. It isn't hard. It's simple that you can do it once you decide you want more of God than you want of yourself. When you really are willing to empty yourself. Whew. Now, I'm going to confess to you, it took me a long time to get there. I'd go to the altar and felt like I had it, but something happened. An old mark had raised up. Some of you wouldn't tell on yourself like this. And that's the reason you're where you are. You have to tell God. He knows. But He wants to hear you say, "Lord, I can't do this alone. I want more of You. I want to be able to walk the streets of Shoals, Indiana, or the roads of the county, and people look at me and say, 'There's a man of God. There's a woman of God.'" More than anything else. You say, "Well, will anybody ever tell any lies on you?" Well, sure they will. But how you react to that will make a big difference in the world. Your spirit about things that don't go right in your life. Your spirit makes a mark in a community. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are wonderful people. Some of you have been here for years. You have a good name in the neighborhood. But I just said an ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure. And another thing is, I feel like our young people need to know they can have this kind of experience. Something that satisfies every longing of the heart. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes and your well begins to overflow. Amen. You know, when you're saved, you get the well. That's for your good. But when you're sanctified, you get the river. And the river's for other people's benefit as well. The spring the well with the river. I want to have the river, don't you? I want to live my life pleasing in the sight of God. And you say, how in the world can you do that and have rental properties? Well, you have to be very good. I've gone to court. I've had to take people to court. I'm not ashamed to tell you. You say, well, you're not supposed to take your brother to court. I'll tell you what, when they owe you $2,500, they're not your brother. Huh? I had a fellow one time in the court, tried to spit on me. He owed me about $1,500. He tried to spit on me. I've had him say, and he's a preacher! Had a lady one time pull out in the front of my house, call me everything but a white guy, and said, you're a preacher! I told her, I said, I am a preacher, but the next time you do that, I'm going to have you arrested. That boy that tried to spit on me tonight is renting one of my apartments. I went to him and I said, I know, but you'll never be able to pay all this back if you can just give me half of it. I said, we'll forget it. And he did. He was gone for 15, 20 years, came back, and has been renting an apartment off of me for 2 years. He thinks I'm the greatest guy in the world. I could have had a bad attitude, but I didn't want to have a bad attitude. But I did want my money. You don't run a business without money. Let me tell you something about that, honey. Huh? I'm glad I have a clear conscience tonight serving Jesus Christ. You say, have you ever been hurt? Yeah. Have you ever been hurt in the church? Yeah, I've been hurt in the church. The devil will use good people sometimes to hurt you. Have you ever been grieved? Have you ever hurt? I mean, hurt. Have you really hurt? You don't know what it is to hurt until you have some of your best friends turn on you. Then you hurt. But I can tell you one thing. I had a fellow that pulled in my driveway and he cussed me from one side to the other. And when he got done, I looked him right in the face and called him a name. And I said, if you ever need me, call me. I'll be there. He said, I'll never need you. I said, but if you do, I'll be there. Amen. You say, are you real? Yes, I'm real. The Word says to love your enemies. And you can love your enemies. Not within yourself. I can tell you that. If you're not sanctified holy, you can't love your enemies. But when you have a clean heart, filled with the blessed Holy Spirit. Church, this is what keeps our young people. This is what makes our children want to serve Jesus Christ. It's when they can come to a church where people are sanctified holy and filled with the blessed Holy Spirit and love I love everybody, but they don't all love me. I can tell you one thing. If they need me, I will be there. You know, I've been around some people. If you was on fire, they wouldn't spit on you. They hated you so bad. I had a fellow tell me one time, said, I'm going to run you out of town. I said, I don't think so. He said, I've ran three preachers out. I said, I'll be here when you're dead and buried. That proved to be true. Thank God, his pastor told me, said in the last hours of his life, he got saved and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. You say, from my viewpoint, that'd be awful hard, but not to God's viewpoint. I don't want to see anybody miss heaven. No one. And the good thing is, you don't have to. God has the grace, and he has the blood of Jesus Christ that can cover every sin. And he could fill us with the blessed Holy Spirit. Let's stand together tonight. I don't know how you close a service like this. I really don't know. There might be someone here tonight that needs to be saved. My mother told me one time, Mark, don't ever preach and not make an altar call. She said, you don't know the hearts of people that come inside the four walls of that church. There might be someone here tonight that just needs a good case of old-time salvation. This mourner's bench should be a great place to do it. There might be someone here tonight that just needs to be sanctified holy. I remember that last Sunday morning of the revival, the last time I was here in 1995, over here in the little church. And a young man came to the altar. He'd pray for a little while, act like he wanted to give up, but I wouldn't let him. And you guys wouldn't. And we prayed with him and prayed with him and prayed with him. And he finally got sanctified. Any of you remember that? We had a victory march. She's got a good memory. I'll tell you what. It's worth everything to make it to heaven. Please, please don't let anything hinder you from going to heaven. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, no one looking on. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But is there anyone in this service tonight that just raise your hand and say, preacher, I have a spiritual need. I'd just like for you to pray for me that I do what I know I should do. Is there anyone like that? Just raise their hand. Now be honest, will you? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Preacher, I'm just going to be honest. I do have a spiritual need. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? There's one. God bless that one. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just, this won't save you, but it'll help you. Amen. I'm not going to be coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I want to help you get to heaven. Because church, we never know. We don't have a lease on life. We don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. We need to be ready. Anyone else? Just be honest about it and say, I have a spiritual need. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We felt your help tonight, Lord. Oh, God, take this little broken message delivered in a miserable way. But, oh, God, take it and apply it to all of our hearts. All of us, Lord, we need to do our best to be careful to serve you with the best of our ability, we pray. And Lord, the one that raised their hand, that they'll find a place to pray and just talk to you about the need they have. There's nothing too big for the God we serve, and we're trusting you for it. Then, Lord, help us to go and believe you tonight in prayer. And Lord, help us to have somebody come in tomorrow that needs Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help us to be fruitful, Lord. Help us to be fruitful. These people have labored for years, Jesus. Reward their faithfulness, we pray, Jesus. We believe you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Shake hands. Be friendly. And we'll be seeing you in the morning.